How's everybody doing? Good, 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 good. Let's pray together. Lord, we are thankful again for this Sunday. We're thankful, God, that you have given us a reasonable portion of our health and our strength. We thank you, God, that our minds are sharp and ready to receive what you are going to share with us. And we thank you, God, that our hearts beat strong in love for you and love for our neighbor and even, Lord, the stranger. We thank you, God, that we are in a place where the word of God will flow freely. And, Lord, we can run with it and change lives everywhere we go. God, we pray again that you would bless not only these who have gathered with us, but, Lord, those who listen to us via their choice of mode of information, and pray, God, that the word will come through fresh and clear. We thank you, God, that you are still on the throne. And, God, you're making a way even when it seems difficult for us. And, God, we'll do what Paul instructed us and inspired us to do. We'll just keep pressing our way. We'll keep reaching, Lord, and trying to achieve the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. And we will remember that God before us, that's more than anything that could rise up against us. And God, we set our sights clearly on the objective that lies ahead, for there is a greater glory. And we thank you, God, that you have afforded us the opportunity to be a part of that greater glory. Thank you, God, that there is nothing that shall be able to stop us. And God, we bless your name even right now. So God, again, we pray that you bless these and the others that are going to join us along the journey. And God, we pray that this refreshing opportunity will certainly, Lord, change our life. And Lord, we know that when our life is changed, we can show the change to so many others. In fact, your word reminds us that if we would just let our light shine, men, women, boys and girls will see what you're doing in us, and we'll be ever mindful to give you all the praise and the glory, for you are so worthy. And God, we just thank you and bless your holy name. Amen. All right. God bless you. God bless you. Let's go again. Last week we were getting into more of our character building lesson, and we want to go over there again to 1 Peter chapter 3. And I said last week when we were talking about it that, you know, it might sound like initially we were picking on sisters, but we're going to get everybody in as we are building character. You can never live any greater than your character. If you don't have character, you don't have much. You can pretend for a while, but it's going to catch up with you. Yeah, it's going to catch up with you. And so for those of us who are thinking otherwise, you know, you, I guess some people say that you can fake it till you make it, but you're going to run out. And so let's not pretend. It's like most of us watch TV. You see that commercial where the young lady has her mother-in-law over for lunch, and she's bragging about her chicken soup and how wonderful it is. And then come to find out it's Progresso. And then, you know, she looks at the guy and goes, she's in the guy goes, yeah. Well, you can pretend like that for a long time, but eventually it's going to catch up with you. People are going to find out what you're really made of or what you can really do and what you cannot do. So what we're trying to accomplish really in this, in our discipleship development, and that's really what it's about, because, you know, as I said it to you before, nobody else does this but the church. You know, over there where Elizabeth works at J. Crew, when you come in, they teach you J. Crew stuff. You know, and you go to orientation. If you don't pass orientation, they don't offer you a job. Am I right about that? Yeah. So when we come to the church, why would we expect that we can just come into the house of a holy God and not have character references and say, you know, this is our standard? Everywhere else we go in the world, if you don't meet the standard, they bid you adieu. You can be handsome. You can be rich. You can be all of them. And in the church, we got all that. We got people who are beautiful. We got people. How you doing, sir? God bless you, man. It's good to see you. Man, we might have to edit it out, but thank you. Good to see you. Man, you're a blessing to me. Man, I've been praying for you. Thank you. And so we have to look at the necessity of constantly developing and strengthening and doing this discipleship thing. And really, it's because I love you. You know, if I didn't care anything about you, you know, I'd pretty much just be the preacher. You don't want just a preacher. I know what Paul says, how can he hear without a preacher? But you want a pastor. And you want a pastor that's going to be honest with you, honest enough to even have you fall out of love and get a temperament about things. But the reality is, if you trust this word like you say you trust this word, your life is going to change. And when your life changes, you're going to have a better life. Amen. So that's really what we want to try to accomplish in you. And so let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to talk a little bit more. We were talking, again, very strongly, and sisters, thank you. As I said last week, when Paul says, and wives, he's also talking about just women and daughters. There's a certain integrity to a beautiful woman. You know, we've heard Proverbs 31, and it's a beautiful text and beautiful lesson, a life lesson. But for us, what we really want to do is not just read it, but do like James says, be doers. You know, and you're going to get laughed at. You're going to get picked on. People going to say, oh, you know, you ain't got to do it. Yes, you do. I've always said when people tell you about what you don't have to do, do the opposite. Go ahead and do it anyway. You know, my mother and most of you mothers and are like that. You're very particular about your children. And you're also particular about children who hang around your children. You know, you look out the window and go, no, don't you let them come over here no more. And the reality is people say, well, you think your kids all that? I do. That's how God feels about you. God sees you as all that. And don't let anybody dummy that down for you. Don't let anybody tell you, you ain't got to be that. No, yes, you do. Wives, respect your husbands, honor your husbands, stand by your man, as Tammy Wynette says. And the reality for us is that's what God says. Now, when we meet Buckethead and Bozo, then we know there's an option we got to take. The Bible says, be separate and come out from among them. Anything that's not like you, don't stick with it. Say, well, you know, who hadn't made a mistake? Anybody here never made a mistake? I said, never made a mistake. You go sit two rows back. Yeah, we know all of us have made some mistakes. We've chosen poorly. We've done poorly. But the fact of the matter is we get chances. God gives us chances. Amen. My grandfather said it this way when I was, I guess, about 15, 16 years old. I did something really silly. And he said, boy, I'm going to tell you something, because my grandfather stuttered badly. So if I said it the way he said it, it'd take 10 minutes. But what he said to me was, if you wake up in the morning, God is saying you got another chance. Boy, I slept hard that night. Yeah, I kept trying not to go to sleep. Anybody ever did so bad you didn't want to go to sleep? Because that now lay me down to sleep prayer kept echoing in your head. If I should die before I wake, that's the only part I kept remembering. If I should die before, you know, but the reality is I woke up. And how many of y'all still waking up? Every hand goes up now because you're here. Okay, so he says, this is what we want to do. So we were talking about it. We got down to, when we were talking about verse 5, and we were moving in there. He said that holy women should live like this. The holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They trusted God and accepted the authority of their husbands. Now, we know in our society that is a constant argument. Girl, don't let no man boss you around. You know, that's my husband. Seasoned sisters will tell you that years ago there was a simple mantra or a simple standard that women signed on for. They stayed. It wasn't always beautiful, but they stayed. That's my husband. I'm going to stand by him. You know, and people, you couldn't talk bad about people's husband but so long. And even though he might have been the worst, when you talked about that man, this, I tell you what, I might be able to say that, but you can't. But what Paul says, what he wants us to understand, what Peter, you know, we're going to get over the Paul part. I'm in Peter right now. But what Peter says is, you listen, what the sisters of old trying to teach us and what we need to understand is we respect the fact that God-given principle says my husband has authority. Listen, I'm going to tell you something right now. I learned this, and Brother Thomas and I, military people, will tell you, nobody wants to be under the leadership or under the responsibility of somebody that cannot exercise good authority. You want a sergeant that's going to go in there and stand up for you. You want a husband that's going to stand up for you. You want supervisor that's going. Authority means something. And so he says what we need to understand. And you don't listen. If you cannot trust a person, don't hook up with them. You know, I mean, really, you need to really know something about people before you, you know, get stuck with them for any length of time. Again, I watch stuff and laugh, and my grandchildren done fell in love with Frozen. And there's a little part in that movie where Anna falls in love with a guy the first time she meet him. And talking about getting married today. And the guy said, you met a guy and you want to marry. And she's trying to make excuses for her. She don't know what kind of food he likes. She don't know his last name. You know, she's making up stuff for him. And how many of you have seen people who are in bad situations keep trying to make up these ideal answers when the reality is, should have never done that. And so he says, what you must do is accept the authority of your husband. Then he goes on to say this. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, when she called him her master. See, now, again, you say that today, some your friend, your girlfriend sitting around the tea party going, girl, you crazy. I was, you know, we looked at The Color Purple, and all Miss Seeley ever called Mr. was Mr. We didn't even know what his real name was. What is his real name? Yeah, but I know y'all. We didn't learn that till who came? Sugar Gabriel. Yeah. Because Cedar said his name what? So the reality is there is a certain level of spiritual discipline to that kind of lifestyle. That's not humiliating or degrading. So when your friends who are not Christians and don't understand the law of God, and the law is good, the command of, listen, what would our lives be without the command of God? What would our lives be without stop signs and speed limit signs and traffic cones and traffic signals? The law is good. Don't let anybody dummy you down, sisters, from saying, you know what, I respect my husband's authority. That doesn't mean you got to be abused, because when we get to the part where he's got a sign on, then it's going to balance everything out. So he says that it's important for us in our development to understand that this is the kind of marriage we really want. This is what we want from our wives, and this is what we want for our daughters. And then he says this, he said, and you have to understand that when you do what is right without fear of what your husband might do, that's the balance. It comes in, and it makes sense to me that if you marry godly, you get godly results. Amen. And again, many of us can look over our lives and go back to those points and places where we did not make godly choices. We didn't ask God nothing. But after we made ungodly choices, don't we spend a whole lot of time trying to convince God to bless the ungodly choice? Lord, if you just help me with this. When we really should have stepped back and waited for God. You know, one of the things we learned at the Servant Leader Summit this year, when Pastor Blunt was preaching, is he taught us to let God make the choice. You know, let's just wait on God to make the choice. And so that's important. Now he gets to verse 7. Brothers, now let's take notice of it. He says, in the same way. So now what we do is we go back and look at verses 1 through and say these are the same things we got to do. It does not take anything away from you as a man if you let your wife have some authority. If you respect her as a helpmate. If you respect her opinion. Guy, I was talking to a guy a few weeks ago and made all the sense in the world to me. We know a bunch of guys sitting around talking, and one of the brothers said, man, you know, my wife just don't understand. You know, she won't take my advice. She won't take my advice. I tried it. And the guy, old preacher, seasoned preacher, said, Doc, she didn't marry you for advice. She married you for love. Think about that. Because if you do things based on love, not because I got the right advice, it makes all the difference in the world. She married you for love. Same thing goes the other way. You know, I've heard brother, man, I don't want to hear nothing. Yeah, well, okay, but we marry for love. We don't really marry for advice. You want a counselor, go hire you one. You know, go get somebody who get paid to sit on the couch and all that kind of stuff. But the reality for us is, he said, the same thing that you want your wife to do, men, you've got to do. The same thing you want her to accept from you, you're going to have to accept from her. He said, in the same way, husbands, give honor to your wives. If you want her to call you, you know, big daddy and master and all that kind of stuff, then you got to treat her like that. You know, if you want to be the guy, then you got to make sure you treat her like she's the gal. It works out that way. And he said, it's the same principle. God does not say to us to be unequal at any point in our lives. Do you realize, and I pray that you'll pay attention to it, even when God talks about headship, there's still some equal to that. You know, Jesus was Lord and Master, but he didn't treat the disciples, the apostles, those who followed him with disrespect or low persons. He made them feel great. In fact, one of the best things he says, one of the wonderful things that he said is, you'll be greater than me if you keep doing what you're doing. That's really wonderful. That's really wonderful. So he says that you do. Now watch this. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. See, we need to understand that. And, you know, I know that sometimes we get to the point in our lives where we start thinking ourselves superior. But you brought nothing in, and you ain't going to carry anything out. And whatever we have, it is always a gift to God. The job you work, the money you make, the house you live in, the car you drive, the clothes you wear, those are all gifts from God. So you don't get the Lord over anybody. You don't get to the point where you think, oh, I'm there now. None of us will ever be at the I made it point. All of us are always going to be trying to make it. We're going to be making progress. We're going to keep going. And so what he wants us to understand is, watch this now. He says, you have a gift from God in your new life. Paul tells us about old things passing away. You know, one of the things the church must understand is that things will never pass away if you keep trying to possess them. We carry old baggage and then complain about how much stuff we got to carry. Pack light, freeze at night. You're going to let some stuff go. God is trying to take a lot of things out of our lives, and we keep going to the recycle bin and taking them out. Before God can lock the gate and close the door, we done gone around the other side and carrying bags and baggage and issues. He said, old things pass away and all things become new. You will not have enough room for all the new stuff God wants to do if you still carrying around all the old stuff you used to do. Now let it go. And it's not the easiest thing you can do, but it's sure the smartest thing you can do. And all of us need to realize straight away that God is going to do it for you if you let him do it. So he says, you have a new life. A new life. Yeah, that's the air conditioner, or the sound thing. One of them, something making a constant noise. Okay. Long as the roof stay there and the walls stay there, we good. All right. Okay. So he says, now watch this now. And the next part is very critical for us. If you don't treat her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. Gentlemen, brothers, don't marry if your prayer life going to get messed up. If you can't treat her like God wants her to be treated, I wouldn't mess up my prayer life like that. You know, Paul said, I can't get married. Paul said, I know the lifestyle I'm living, the things I'm doing. He said, but I'm not saying it's not for everybody. It just ain't for me. And, you know, he had a serious prayer life. So maybe he thought, you know, I can't find the right sister, so I ain't going to mess up my prayer life. Because if you don't treat a woman as you should, as God desires for her, designed her, and destined her to be treated, you're going to have a bad prayer life. And you know what I see in this? How many brothers we see? Frustrated and broken. I mean, how many people you have conversations with them and they whining and complaining and unhappy? And you know, I mean, they don't want to pray because ain't no need me praying, ain't gonna make no difference. Well, let's go back and look at your relationships, because all of it ties together. You know, you can't have this segmented life in Christ. Okay, I got this over here and this right here and this right, and none of it all matters. All of it matters because all of it is you. You don't get to turn yourself on, turn yourself off, jump out of this skin, jump in that skin, and over here you're altogether different. Then you jump in this skin, over here you're altogether different. It's always you, and God is always looking at you. Yes, sir. Thank you. you know, the issue is that I'm trying to find a nice way to say this. You know, ignorance is ignorance, in my opinion. But I think that a lot of times that is one of our, and again, this is not a criticism against you now on this side of it, but a lot of times when that happens, there's our ministry. There's our opportunity to say, you know what, brother, let me explain something to you. And he may not have enough time to sit down and talk to you, but that's when you go, let me help you understand something. Everything that I am is because I pray. And he may look, and because at that time, the manager comes shortly thereafter because I'm eating free. Yeah, I've been insulted by him. But the fact of the matter is, you got to play that right. The fact of the matter is, those opportunities are indeed ministry opportunities. You know, just like in the military, you know, when you see, you know, guys in their dress uniforms, and that's advertisement. And, you know, people look at, oh, you know, y'all baby killers and all. But you say, let me explain something to you about the military. Oh, you know, whatever it is that we're doing, whatever it is that we are, when people see us in action, and that's action, you praying. You know, some people pray not to be seen. You know, some of them sit there and then go at it. But there are still those of us who fold our hands and bow our heads in reverence and have had to tell the hostess, hold on a minute, you know. And they learn something. You know, I was in a restaurant some time ago with my wife and daughter, you know, and the young lady came up and started taking orders. I said, no, you take their orders first. Those ladies, and she said, thank you. You know, I learned something. She said, you know, I've never had a man say that to me before. I said, well, then from now on, you go to a table, always tell the men, excuse me, I need to talk to the ladies first. I mean, it's life lessons. And for us as Christians, we have such a high standard to bring to the world that if we stand on praying and stand on proper etiquette and all that kind of stuff, when we open doors for our wives and pull out chairs, people look at us, they may say, And then you say, listen, this is how God wants me to treat my baby. It's a life lesson. Our ministry opportunities are all around us. A lot of times we miss them because we're trying to not, you know, man, ruffle some feathers, man. You know, just say, hey, what are you doing? And unless you can really have integrity in the matter, then, it probably ain't something you ought to do because they'll call you on it. Because if you can't be consistent, you know. I mean, my grandmother said something to me when I was probably 16, 17 years old regarding relationships. She said, listen, don't start nothing you can't keep doing. You know, all that, you know, if you ain't going to be opening doors for the rest of your life and bringing flowers every Friday, don't start. Because when it stops, some questions going to come up, you know. Yes, ma'am. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that some months ago, a long time goes by pretty fast, but you remember that we had the fella come to church one Sunday and then broke the windows out that Monday because he was mad at God. You know, when I got him, the police got him in handcuffs. I said, well, why you broke out windows? I'm mad at God because I've been praying and ain't nothing happening. I'm thinking, I'm saying, well, okay, well, you really need help. You know, and you know, so things happen. There are issues. And sometimes people have been hurt by church and have been hurt by, and I say this honestly, and I pray that you all understand me. Nobody gets hurt by God. They're just placing the blame in the wrong place. They're hurt by churches, local churches, pastors, ministry leaders, trustees, you know, and they take that out on the whole of the gospel and miss God because you see people. And I pray God that we will all learn to keep our eyes on God. Don't look at people. People going to always do something crazy. The best people do something crazy. Keep your eyes on God. So when people hurt us or disappoint us or whatever might happen, we stay focused, you know, keep our eyes on God, you know, and so that's critical. But you do what you do because you believe it. Keep praying over your chicken wings, you know. Was the food any good after that? Okay. Oh, that's all right. No. Well, like I said, it's not a criticism. I think a lot of times when things like that happen, you know, we're trying to sort out a lot of things real quick. Because like you said, you're trying to stay out of jail for an assault charge. So you got to get that thing straight first. And so, you know, but the next time. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing for all of us. So that when our next time comes, we can say, you know what Pastor said? And then we can go for it. And that's critical. It works for me, too. You know, I mean, I've had opportunities where, you know, later on I'm sitting down and go, God, I missed that. You know, and so next time we'll have that to cover. Let's go to verse 8 now. Verse 8, we'll walk together these a little bit slower because these are critical. 8, actually, it's a long run because it's actually all the way over to about verse 18. But we'll get there. But I need you to understand what's happening because there are probably, in most churches, there is probably a very small percentage of people who have the wherewithal to always engage in ministry because they understand the full-time call to ministry. Again, that's not a criticism. That's just a reality. Because a lot of us, some of our own weaknesses or challenges keep us from being hypocritical to the point when, in fact, God doesn't judge us in the sense of the hypocritical state of it, but is a responsibility to have done the ministry. And let me explain that. Because some people will say to you, well, how dare you come say this to me and you divorced? Or how dare you say this to me and you and your wife? No. I may not have that part straight yet, but I got this part straight. So there's no hypocrisy to it. Because the reality is we're all learning the lesson. But I do understand the teachable part. That's just like people who teach. Here's a good one. How many of you know mechanics that drive raggedy cars? I mean, he's good at what he does, but, so it doesn't make him a bad mechanic because he got a raggedy car when he fixes everybody else's stuff. You cannot let the fact that you are struggling with certain aspects of discipleship life keep you from doing the ministry. And I know it happens all the time. There are people who think, well, I can't sit down because I've been married 3 times or I struggle with alcohol or I smoke. My life ain't perfect. None of you have a perfect life. None of us, back up, none of us have a perfect life. Listen, don't follow me. Don't be following me around. I want to be just like Pastor. No, you don't. You want to be better than me. Let's just leave it at that. The reality is, The standard cannot be diminished because you're struggling with your own life. That's my point. Let's just do this God thing. And when you understand the higher calling aspect, you're gonna be inspired by your own life. Because you're starting to get it. When you understand that God trusts you with better life, you'll get it. You'll change. See, one of our problems is we are, again, too often looking around rather than looking up. See, that birds of a feather thing is dangerous. Stay focused on God. Listen, if everybody else want to be drunk, fall on the floor, fine. But I got to understand now this is me and God. I'm not going to give my answer to Rudy. I'm not going to stand before the judgment seat of Rudy. I'm not going to stand before the judgment seat of Ozilia. I'm going to stand before God. And so what I need to do is better understand what he desires of me. And I'm not going to criticize you because you fall down. If I really understand the doctrine, I'll help you when you fall down. See? Our ministry is not about running on and leaving you. It's about all us running together. Yeah, that's the real church. The real church is about us running together. It's never been about pastors are better, deacons are second grade, associate ministers. There's no pecking order with God. You and I have a responsibility now to live wholesome lives. And we'll get over there to it in a little bit. But when we start looking at what's wrong, that's ministry. See, what we've done wrong in the church is when we find what's wrong, we kill it. We kill it. Whoever did something wrong, kill them. Put them off the committee. Put them out the church.
Don't let them do nothing. That's not what God was telling us to do. What God was saying is, okay, you see that? Now go do something. We can't kill everything. God Almighty, we kill everything, we ain't going to have nothing. You smoke, you drink, you cuss, you've been divorced, you childless, you had a child. Who are we going to have left? Thank God we don't really do background checks. What we do is future vision. Because we're not concerned about what you used to be. We want to invest in what we know you can be. I just said something right there. I feel like asking for a raise. The reality for us is, Deacon McKenzie, make note. The fact of the matter is, the whole of what we are is becoming. It is not about past failures. It is becoming. We are becoming better husbands. We're becoming better wives. We're becoming better sons. We're becoming. Why? Because we were all born with a deficit. What does the gospel say? We were born in sin. That's bad for everybody. So let's stop doing it to each other. Whatever's wrong with you is our ministry. We're going to help you. See, we have become churches of perfection when there are no perfected persons. We have these facades of righteousness. And those facades of righteousness keep crumbling, and then we build up another one. So in our churches, everybody's got to look like the same. No, we don't. And you don't let them out of fool you. Mega churches got a problem. Grandmama's church in the country got a problem. Because there's people everywhere. And when exposure comes, what do we all want to do? Pick up rocks and throw them? No. Pray. We spend more time praying, we're going to all be happier. Trust me. We've seen it. Every time something happens, folks start that, I told you so. Anyway, maybe that's why your young host quit going to church, because something happened. Stuff happening all the time. What we need to do is minister to what's happening. Ferguson ain't the first time. Won't be the last. Ain't nothing that's going in there burning up stuff and tearing down stuff. Pray for everybody. You can't pray that the white police officer get hung and stretched out, because we got all kinds of problems. That ain't the only problem we got. A lot of work we need to be doing. Same thing happens in California, Mississippi. Just keep our eyes on God. Lord, what would you have us do? Lord, how do we handle this? You know, I was talking to some preachers, they called, man, we're going to have a... I said, listen, did y'all learn anything from Martin King? Every time something happened to Martin King, the first thing he did is pray. Go back and look at the history. All the stuff that was bad, he didn't start saying get steaks and knives. He said, let's pray. They held hands, they walked slow, they took their time. You don't retaliate to make things better. You pray and make things better. You can't bring dead people back by doing stupid stuff. You can't build a church getting rid of all the broken people. Because you ain't going to have no church. That's why we are the church. Because we're full of brokenness. We need healing. That's why we go to hospitals. This is the hospital. Nobody walks in here perfect. So what he says to us is, finally, pay attention to what he says. Are we there? I'm trying to help you. He says, all of you should be of one mind. Watch this now. Here it is. I'm setting it up for you. Full of sympathy toward each other. How many of you have ever gone to the side of a family that has lost someone? You notice how quiet it is and peaceful and loving. People bring stuff and sit down and keep asking these same questions. What can we do for you? How can we help you? That's how we ought to be in the church. I mean, we don't want our church to be morbid and slow all the time. I mean, we want some jumping and jumping. He said, listen, be full of sympathy toward each other. Think about it. I say it to families all the time. You know, when Vicki lost her husband just a couple of weeks ago, you know, she hesitated to call me, but we talked and stuff. And the kindness that we give her should last forever. You know, we're not going to keep, you know, making Brother Simon a morbid issue, but we loved her that day, and we'll love her the next day and the next day. And eventually, you know, we power down a little bit, But we still got to keep loving. Same thing is in broken lives, struggling lives. He said, listen, this is what you do for each other. And so, again, just think about what we do for people when we really want to help them or hug them. You know, nobody wants you to feel sorry for them. No, they don't want you to feel sorry for them. They just want you to love them. Care ye one for the other. Tender mercies. You know, and treat folk like you want to be treated. That's, you know, some years ago, I had a conversation with somebody who used to be a part of our fellowship. They left because, you know, we were having this conversation. And I told them, I said, I don't have the time, nor do I have the heart to judge people for what's wrong with them. Hey, but you're the pastor. You need to set a standard. No, God already set the standard. My job is to teach the standard and to make sure that we're trying to attain to it. But, you know, if you come to me and try to rat on brother so-and-so because he do this, that, or the other, you're talking to the wrong guy. The murderer, the adulterer are all the same. I don't want to condemn him. He already know he condemned. You know, that's just like telling a man who's been shot, hey, you've been shot. He knows that already. What are you going to do as a result of the fact that you know I've been shot? You're going to either render first aid or you're going to watch me die. Our responsibility is to love each other. Now watch what he goes on to say. He says, you should be of one mind. So that means what? We're going to learn the same thing. Full of sympathy toward each other. Watch this. Loving one another with tender hearts and humble minds. Twice he ties the mind together. It's critical. Because how you think dictates how you do. As a man or woman thinks, so he or she is. You cannot live or minister above your intelligence. You don't have the mind for it, you ain't going to do it. You know, you can't walk in and do surgery, Levant. You might want to do it, but you can't. You don't have the mind for it. I'm not saying you can't go to college and university and do it. But right now today, if I fell down and you walked in with a scalpel, I'm going to tell you better put that scalpel down. Get proper first aid. Now, you just keep pressure on the wound till somebody come here. Rev, I'm going to try to help you. No, you just keep pressure on the wound and make sure I keep breathing. I think I can get it out. No, you won't get it out. No, I know you love me, but don't put that down, because if I can get to my pistol, I'm going to be holding it on to you. Put that down. Man, I'm trying to help. No, you don't have no medical license. And so the reality for us in the body of Christ, this is how church get hurt. This is how people get hurt in the church. We try to minister above our ministerial intellect. You know, I can't talk to this. Are you married? Okay, so you my example. If he came in and said, Pastor, me and my wife having trouble, and I'm in a bad marriage, I don't do none of the biblical principle about marriage, and I'm going to help him? I ain't helping him. Man, if I were you, I'd get rid of her. You know, she won't do what I say. You know, it's like with Miss Seeley told told Harpo, you know, that's bad advice. And Miss Sophia came and said, so you told Harpo to beat me? What Miss Sophia knew that Seeley didn't know is she can beat any man. So you don't just got Harpo beat up because when his daddy looked at him and said, what happened to you, boy? I bumped into a cabinet. He said, I bet you did. The cabinet called Sophia. We can't minister to you with what we don't know. So the best thing for us to do what? Keep learning together. We do things with intent, and often the intent misses the intent. How many of you ever heard somebody say, well, I meant to? Or how about this? I didn't mean that. So what he says is, let's get one mind. Let's make sure that how we think is a result of what we've learned in Christ Jesus. Notice now, he says, you should all be of one mind. That's why we learn together. You know, I get in trouble sometimes when I say things and people don't pay attention to the pastoral emphasis of it. We can't have a divided church and have a united church at the same time. So at some point, we really need to have everybody in the same room so we can all learn the same thing. Because everybody doesn't teach the same thing. Trust me, I've been in churches where people have had issue with the pastor and try to teach counter to what they know the pastor's teaching for the sake of building their own ministry or trying to get back at him. I've been there. I've sat, even as an adult, I've been in a couple of churches when people, you know, said things, well, I know what the pastor said, but this is what I take on it. I don't want to know what you take on it. Now you're causing division based on the authority of the pastor, the man of God, the woman of God. What you should do is humble yourself and go say, Pastor, me and you have a different vision of this. Can you help me with this? Because if I'm going to teach in your academy, I need to teach it like you teach it. And if I don't agree with it, I probably need to sit down and shut up. Pray more. One mind. You know, again, my movie I like in Last Samurai, when Tom Cruise is trying to learn, Captain Holmgren is trying to learn. Boy, see, you got too many minds. One mind. And we can do that, really. We bring issues. Everybody in this room, from right here all the way back, right now, got issues. There are things that are circulating in your head. If I say a key word or get on a key subject or talk about something for a few minutes, you drift off into that area. You start dealing with your own marriage, your own children, your neighbor. And when I talked about being hurt by the church, some of us went back to church hurt back in 67, 73, you know, and we had to deal and then jump back in the room and say, what did he say? Because my mind takes field trips all the time. I'm preaching and take field trips. Y'all probably notice it sometimes. In the middle of, all right, you didn't have to say yep that loud. Who said yep that loud over here? No. I mean, in the middle of preaching sometimes, I'm on a field trip. And I have to get back on the bus and go, okay, where was I at? The reality for us is one mind is critical in developing and strengthening and discipling and disciplining lives. Some of you have had it happen with you, with your children, on your job, in other enterprises or other areas of life. One time they did it this way, and the next time they did it the other way. You say, well, come on, where's the consistency at? What are we going to do? You know, if you're not going to treat me like you treated her because you like her, but you don't like me, that ain't right. That's not God. Why? He's no respecter of persons. God going to punish all of us the same for the same thing. No matter what sin, from A to Z, the punishment is the same. And presently, in this time in which we live, I'll tell you what the punishment is. Mercy and grace. God ain't killing nobody, so why should we? God ain't putting people out of churches. God ain't sending the angel of death down to tell them, don't you go to church no more. You can't sing. You can't be there. God has given grace and mercy. So our mind should be the same. And it shouldn't be anything about the gravity of what you did. Some of us ain't going to never do nothing big. We scared. How many of you can be honest enough to admit that a lot of things that you would have did, you didn't do because you were scared? A lot of stuff I used to think about, I said, no, I'm going to get a whooping for that, and it's going to be a bad one. You know, my father's voice still rings in my ear at 53. My mom's voice. I still hear these people saying, hey, what are you doing? The reality for us is the church has too many minds. We bring issues from former churches and former ministries and former pastors, and we don't let that stuff go. Let's just go back to the Word of God. And what does God say? Again, back to what I said earlier, let's just keep our eyes on God. If we keep our eyes on God, we are going to benefit tremendously because the focus is a blessing. Jesus did it. Jesus said, all I care about, all I've ever invested in is what my Father said, what he tells me to do. He said, I've done none other than what my Father. And look at Jesus' ministry. You don't see him retaliating. You don't see him losing it. You know, that little one temple incident, Jesus did not lose it. Turning over tables was the appropriate thing to do. It isn't like Jesus had a bad, oh, yeah, Jesus just went off. He didn't go off. Going off in Jesus is like a whole town disappeared. You know, because God did that with Sodom. You know, and that's when God going off means a whole city and nothing ever grows there again. I mean, come on, Jesus just went in there and said, this is wrong. And then he went on outside and sat down. He didn't go off. Y'all done gone off. We're going to go off, people. Anybody who ever gone off, raise your hand. I'm waiting on two more of y'all. Bo, what you waiting on? Thank you. All right. So the reality for us is one mind. Now, here it is. Watch this now. He says, in a humble mind, tender hearts, and a humble mind. Highlight those. And now live them. Be tenderhearted. Just forgive people, man. You ain't no punk, no sissy. You ain't no pushover. You ain't weak because you forgive people and hug people who don't want to hug you and smile at people who don't smile back and keep reaching out to people who keep slapping your hand. It's okay. You tough like that. You and I cannot afford to distance ourselves from God because of people. We can't miss a Sunday. Can't miss a Thursday. I can't, listen, pastoring is hard. Trust me, from where I stand, this ain't the easiest thing I could have did. But I have a commitment I made to God way back before I knew any of y'all. And I ain't going to let y'all change that. I ain't going to let two or three bad Negroes change that. I'm not going to let the budget issue change it. I sit there and look at that paper just like the deacons and the trustees do. And I say to myself, come on, really? But I got to keep going. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. That's not just a song. That's a constitution of a believer. It has nothing to do with y'all, really. This is a me and God deal. You just happen to be on the same bus I'm on. We ought to enjoy the ride. You ever got on a bus with strangers and before you knew it, you had six new friends? You know, you get on there and you say, you know, some of us do that. We get on and say, I ain't going to say nothing to nobody. And before you know it, somebody say, well, where you from? And you start out all curt. Lynchburg. What's your name? Fred. Oh, okay. I had a cousin named Fred. He was a trip. Mm-hmm. You married? No. And then the next thing you know, y'all laughing and grinning. And then you got another friend, and they say, well, I want to introduce you to my friend sitting back there in the other seat. When we get to the first stop, we get off the bus, and they say, I met Fred. We've been sitting there talking, and Fred from Lynchburg. Oh, I got somebody from Lynchburg. You know, and next thing you know, we're all enjoying the trip. You don't want to be the only one sitting there with your chicken salad leaking through the bag and ain't talking to nobody. Everybody on the bus laughing and grinning. You sitting there eating your salad, looking out the window. And then get there and say, that's the worst trip I ever been on. Wasn't friendly. I love what I do for God. All I can pray is that the people I'm doing it with will find the same love. That's all you can ask. So he said, let's do it with one humble, tender mind. Now watch this. And then verse 9, critical. Do not. Don't do it. Don't repay evil for evil. Y'all sisters, ain't you? Sure enough. Y'all ever had a moment? You don't have to say it loud. Chris, turn the sound thing down. When y'all been kind of at odds, you know, rarely. Oh, so you're the other one. Okay, but this one over. But, you know, you don't repay. You know, she did something to you, you did something. I mean, y'all sisters, y'all, you know, you don't do it. You don't repay evil for evil. You know, and sometimes we do it, we do it, we do it, we don't. But we shouldn't do it. Because why? We still going to be sisters. No matter what happens, she took your curling iron or she took your jewelry or she... We still going to be sisters. You know what? In the body of Christ, we still going to be family. Well, we want to acknowledge you, you know, because we do it sometimes. You know, we sit in the room and act like people ain't in the room and all that kind of stuff. We still sisters. We still brothers. You know, I've had it in my family, you know. I've had instances where my relatives, my sister didn't speak to me for years. She's still my sister. Ain't going to change nothing because she don't call me, you know. She won't say nothing to me. She's still my sister. But I wasn't going to do nothing to hurt her. And if somebody would have called and said, hey, something happened to your sister, or we going down. You know, and I'm not going to get even with you because you do something to me. Because you never get even. You do know. It only gets worse. And the word of God says, you who are believers cannot say to yourself, I'm exempt from verse 9. No, you're not. No, you're not. You don't get an exemption from one verse. Whether you like it or not. So he says, you who are of one mind and you who are tenderhearted and sympathetic, don't repay evil for evil. Oh, I'm going to get you. No, you're not. You're going to get yourself. Because you do know if Coach had wrung that boy's neck, we'd be getting messy today. You know they got Coach down in the regional jail. For what? He grabbed some guy in Buffalo Wild Wings. But what was wrong with the chicken that day? You know. It ain't going to help him none. You know, and so what we do is what? The word. We do word. You are word doers. The standard of the world ain't good enough for you. And be proud to tell them that. How is you? No, well, you're not me because you're not a Christian. And you don't believe God like I believe God. So your advice is unwarranted, unsolicited, and thank you very much. We're moving on. You can't do it. And if there's any place where we're going to do it better, it's got to be in the house of God. And yeah, they're going to laugh at you and say, you crazy. So you're just going to let them walk all over you? They ain't walked. Nobody has ever walked over you. The only time people are going to walk over you is when you're in the cemetery. Yeah. You ain't going to know nothing about that. Now, there's some fanatic who go out to the cemetery and walk like this and all like that. Going to make a difference. You stepping on somebody. Nobody walks all over you. You can be tolerant. You can be forgiving. You can be long-suffering. You can be compassionate. Ooh, that sounds like some biblical principles I'm going to get to. That's part of what God said do. You don't just put up with people. All of us putting up with something. But we're not going to repay evil for evil. What we'll do is we'll identify the evil and say, listen, Bob says, if your brother or sister offends you, say something. See, what our problem is, we keep swallowing stuff till we get indigestion so bad that we want to blow up. Don't keep putting up and say, excuse me, what you just said right there, that didn't go well. And don't do it trying to be public about it. Say, excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute? Say, listen, I know you might be having a bad day, but you can't talk to me like that. I don't appreciate it, and it's ungodly. And if they swell up even more, say, okay, bless you. Then do what the Bible said. Say, Sister Elizabeth, can you come with me for a minute? Because we need to go talk to Sister Hattie Bell. Because Hattie Bell is about to cross the line. And I need to keep my good standing in the church. Yeah. Tell it like it is. See, listen, don't be camouflaging your pain. If it hurt, it hurt. Because you keep camouflaging one hurt and then another hurt. And then and before you know it, you hurt all over. And then you don't want to go to church. Then you don't want to sing. Then you don't want to usher because you got all this pain when what you should have did was address the pain. Pain was present. Say, excuse me, can I talk to you for a minute? I mean, even if it's the pastor. Say, Pastor, you know, the other day, I done forgot. But if you catch me before the day is done, then you can say, can I say something to you? Now, please, beloved of God, Chris, hit the pause button for a minute. Don't y'all start lining up trying to. But my point is, pain, I'm talking about hurt. Don't take instruction and try to fix that because instruction ain't going to change. But what I'm saying to you is, if evil has happened, and you know evil is not hard to recognize. Don't repay it, but address it. Go to them and say, listen, that bothered me. You know, and I don't know whether your objective was to really hurt me, but it did. But don't repay evil for evil. Don't get your cronies together. Don't get your gang. Don't get your girls like you knew Darrington people used to do. Y'all go get y'all peoples and go back and get their peoples. And before you know it, we all doing West Side Story in the park. You know, no, we can't do West Side Story. And so he says, watch this now. He says, because don't retaliate when people say unkind things about you. Don't. It doesn't make you weak. Watch what he says. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. That's God. The world will say to you, you crazy. You keep being nice to brother so-and-so and he keep treating you. Listen, I tell you what. If brother or sister so-and-so is truly a believer and a disciple in Christ Jesus, this gonna fix it. This is going to fix it, because if we do this thing like we're supposed to do it and everybody is honest, that sister or that brother going to realize, why do you think you keep getting all this attention? Why do you think people keep coming to you saying the same thing? It's obviously something wrong with what you're doing. It's something wrong with what you're saying. It's something wrong with how you're treating people.
We ain't just picking on you. Have you noticed that you constantly get the attention? Are you noticing that people don't want to be around you? Are you noticing how people shy away when you walk into a room? Or you change the atmosphere from jovial to, oh, my God. You obviously need to work on your personality in Christ Jesus. We ain't just picking on you because we don't like your hair, or we don't like your car, or we want your toys. You are really out of sync with the loving atmosphere of a people. He said, just bless them. And so when people walk up to you and say, I'm praying for you, they don't have to say, I'm praying for you. They can say, I'm praying for you. And you know the difference. He said, don't do it. The church has got to be different. The body of Christ has suffered enough. We don't need to have internal wounds. If there's any place that I can feel safe, I want it to be home. When I'm out there in the world, I know anything can happen. But I don't want to come into the house of God and go, oh, Lord, here comes so-and-so. What this fool gonna say now? That's not the way we want to approach worship or rehearsal or the next staff meeting. We don't want to sit there and go, you know, everything was fine when so-and-so wasn't here. Yeah, he back. You know, we don't want to look outside and see if your car ain't in the parking lot. That's not what we need. He said, don't retaliate. Let's bless people. Let's make them understand that there is a change required, and we're going to help you change. Watch this now. Are we still here? I pray that you are. He said, listen, that is what God wants you to do, and he'll bless you for it. See, again, stop waiting on people to do stuff for you. Stop waiting on your earthly reward. He said, listen, you do this right, God's going to bless you. Let me see if I can survey the house very quickly. Is there anybody in here that don't want God to bless them? Okay, let me survey the house again. How many of you want God to bless you? Then do this. Highlight these verses. So when it happens, and how many of you know it's going to happen? It's going to happen. He said, this is what you do. You don't retaliate. You don't take evil for evil. When you do it this way, God's going to bless you. When you bless Vicky, God's going to bless you. When you bless Pat, God's going to bless you. When you bless Deacon Campbell, God's going to bless you. When you bless my brother, God's going to bless you. So if he did, every one of you must face the fact that sometimes your emotional, mental, and physical state is going to change. Because I don't know how you left home. How you leave home sometimes dictates how you come into this house. I don't know what phone call you got. I don't know what you've been dealing with. I do know you come into the medicine station because you need the medicine. But what shape you came in here in and how I approach you, because if you having a really, really, really bad morning and a bad afternoon and all that stuff is piled up together, and I walk up to you and go, hey, how you doing this morning? And you don't say nothing, and I go, I spoke to you. See, that ain't going to help nothing right there. That's not gonna help. What's going to happen is when I speak to you and you don't sit down, I got to stop and go, are you okay? Because I spoke to you and you didn't say anything. You all right? And then wait long enough for you to say whether you are or you aren't. Because you can't say to folk, are you all right, and keep walking. Sometimes you got to stop. I say, seriously, are you okay? You need to talk? Because I'm here. And if you say you're here, be there. And when you're there for them, stay there with them. Don't take what they gave you and give it to somebody else. Because if you minister to me, it should be personal and confidential. And some integrity goes with that. He says, because God will bless you. And I want God to bless you. Okay? He says, now, for the scriptures say, and again, here's the word of God. The scripture says, if you want a happy life and good days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and keep your lips from telling lies. That's the word of God. I didn't make that up. We don't have to put it in the Constitution of the Church. It's already in the Constitution of the Church. It's in the Bible. He said, if you really want to have a happy life. Now, let me see again. How many of you want to have a happy life? I do. Then what did he say do? He said, stop spreading rumors, spreading around. Stop telling lies. Don't do it. He said, if you really want to have a good life,
keep your tongue from speaking evil. What he said, discipline. That's the word, discipline. Discipline through biblical training and principle. That's the principle. Keep your, you guard your tongue. Ain't nobody got to watch over you and keep you from doing nothing. You do it. He said, no lie. Don't lie on people. Don't spread no lie. When people bring you a bone, tell them to take it. Keep it. No, thank you. Oh, you ain't heard? No, I ain't heard and don't want to hear. Because if I hadn't heard by now, obviously ain't nothing I need to know. And so he says, watch this, and keep your lips from telling lies. Don't do it. Watch verse 11. I'm almost done. He said, turn away from evil and do good. Can I tell you something? They both require your full attention. If you spend most of your time doing this and then doing that, you're wasting your time. Stay focused. You will never be able to sing, may the works I've done speak for me, if you ain't doing nothing but damage. You can't play on both sides of the net. You either on this side or that side. And what he says to us is, watch this, work hard. See, again, as I said to my prayer warriors this morning in the hallway, this is hard stuff we got to be doing now. Work hard at what? Living in peace with other people. Some people are going to make you work overtime. But do it. Work hard at living in peace. In other words, find every reason and take every opportunity to do good. Be a peace agent. Let your light so shine. That's peace agent stuff. And there's a discipline to it. Because you can't be flipping on people. 1 week you're doing it this way, and then 2 weeks later, we stand there going, well, which you is you? Last Sunday, you were leading the prayer band and laying hands. Now you walk around here pushing people and stepping on toes and what is that? You got a sinus issue this week? Your nose is tight. That ain't no way to do it. He said, you got to work hard. Watch this. To do what? Live at peace with other people. You are not an island. It is the word of God, the will of God, and the way of God that you do these verses. And it's not about whether you agree with it or not, because if you won't agree with anything, you got to agree with the word of God. The writer says, I've kept your commands, and they are not unreasonable to me. The word of God is not unreasonable. That's what the writer said. He said, what you've asked me to do, God, is not unreasonable. It is becoming to do this. And watch what he goes on to say. He said, because the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do what is right. That's your guardianship. So we go now to Psalm 23 when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He keeps watch over me. He makes me. He said, that's what you get when you do it right. God watches over you. When you're not doing it right, that's a dangerous thought to have happen, isn't it? He said, Lord, don't turn away from me. Don't take your spirit from me. That was David's concern because of his madness. Because of the mistakes he made, he said, please, God, don't turn on me. I can't make it without you. You know what happens in this society we live in? We act like we can make it without God. I can't make it without God. I'm not going to try that. I don't want just the favor of God so I can drive right and live right and eat right. I want the favor of God so I can live with God. I don't want to be at odds with God. I may have an issue with Brother McKenzie on and off, and I thank God that we don't presently or nothing like that. And in all the years I've been here, I don't think we had a real problem. But my point is, okay, so me and him will have to work on that. I can't take a moment's notice away from God. I can't think God blinks with me. I don't want God to take his eyes off me for a second. I'm just like a little child standing on the edge of the road. Don't let my hand go. I want God to pay full attention to me, and I want him to bless me because I'm doing it right. And right sometimes may make me seem vulnerable to the foolishness of others, but that's okay. Because even if you do it to me dirty, God will make it good. Joseph taught us that. Joseph said, even the stuff that y'all meant for evil, God turned it around. Why? Because he had his eyes on me, and I did it right. Joseph didn't retaliate. Joseph didn't speak evil. If you read the text very carefully, you will discover in all of Joseph's history, you never hear him make a negative remark about his family. He never said, the only reason I'm in here because my brothers did me dirty. Didn't say that. He understood that if I do this right, God's going to bless me. And he didn't make no issue out of trying to hold God severely accountable. He just trusted him. He didn't say, God, you owe me because I didn't do God. You know, God, good as I've been, Lord, you owe me. He never said that. You know what he did? He kept trusting God every day. All those years in prison, all those years in Potiphar's house, he never said, God, you owe me. You know what he knew? God kept his eyes on the righteous, and he does not blink. Some of us right now really need to be asking God's forgiveness. In your quiet meditation, even while I'm speaking, you ought to be saying, you know what, God, Pastor just enlightened me to something. I'm not going to live like that anymore. Please, God, forgive me. You've let me live another day. It's got to be purposeful in my progress that you've let me live another day so I can learn something about how to live the next day. Jesus said, don't put too much in yesterday at all because it ain't worth nothing. And don't get too enamored with tomorrow, but work on your right now. And that's what I'm trying to help y'all do right now. We're working on our right now to understand that there are things that we have not done well in relationship, in ministry, in the church, in the body of Christ, in marriage, in brother and sister connection, in friendships. So he says, here's what we want. If we want to live a happy life, we're going to have to stay away from evil. We're going to have to keep from telling lies. We're going to make sure that we turn away from anything that's not godly. So God won't turn away from us because I can't make it without you. And so he says, we're almost there, right at a quarter till. I'll stop here. He says, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. You know what that says? Keep the lines of communication open by loving your brothers and sisters, and God will hear your every prayer. Some of us have hindered our own prayer lives. And you want to blame other folk for it, when what you should do is get on your knees and say, God, I have done some things, and I owe some people an apology. I owe some people a handshake and a hug because, God, I didn't do it right. And again, don't let, you know, just like Coach's example, don't let the foolishness of the world make you a fool. Just say, oh, you know what I just learned? I'm going to minister to that. You know, and when God sees you in your integrity, he's going to reward you. He's going to bless you. I can trust this with God that he will not lie. I trust that with God. When I read stuff like this, it makes me think more and more about trusting more and doing more because I want this kind of life. And it doesn't say I got to do anything. It doesn't say I got to stand in a line or give no money. It just says do right. So don't anybody dupe you into thinking you got to be in the perfect church or the right ministry to get this. Just do this. And you can do this in any ministry. But you want to be held accountable to it and do it right by God. And when you do it right by God, he says, I'm going to bless you. I am going to bless you real good. You don't have to hook or crook. You don't have to scheme. You just do this. Love your neighbor. Be kind to each other. Be tenderhearted. Don't repay evil. Don't say unkind things. Love folk. Bless folk. Do the scriptures. And God says, I got you. I got you. I will open up the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing. And ain't got nothing to do with the fact that you belong to Ebenezer High Holy. No, it's because you do my word. And it ain't because you went to the convocation and they laid hands and you got in that line. And you ain't got to make no deals. Just be integrity. Have your integrity straight before God and do what God says. Amen. All right, we'll talk next week. The Lord said the same, starting at verse 13. Mark your Bible so you'll be ready. We got a few more verses to deal with in integrity and character, and we're going to move on to the next thing. Did I help you a little bit? I want to help you because helping you helps me. God, my Father, we thank you so very much for blessing us real good.